It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a slice with a topping of Nazis. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, Nazi news and Twitter for verification and a Nazi pizza. I have a take on our statue issue in this country, because we do have a statue issue.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing that we would have that. Is the third stanza of the national anthem racist, and what should we do about it if it is? And Facebook wants to see your naked body.
No.
But we can no longer ignore the new trend that is sweeping our great nation. Sexual assault.
Yeah.
It's not really a new trend. It's just kind of getting reported now.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming forward. But I think it's interesting. Let's see who's who. You got Roy Moore, you got Donald Trump, got Anthony, just the recent ones. Anthony Weiner, Louis C.K., Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, Burt Ratner.
Brett Ratner.
Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's some other ones in there, too. Mark Halperin, celebrity chef John Best, George Takei. It runs the gamut. People from all walks of life. Your neighborhood butcher, he did it, too. But I think it's kind of interesting how people react to when certain people are accused, like, oh, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when certain other people are accused, they don't believe it. And how certain industries, although it might have been secretive all along, now that it's out there, they are quick to act with a fairly consistent singular voice. In other industries, you kind of get split.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, so let's look. I'm not going to focus on Bill Clinton, because we know what Clinton did, and we know the life he led after he did it. We know what he's been accused of,
right?
In the 90s and before,
mm-hmm.
and we know that he got to become president. We know all of that,
right?
I want to focus on just the ones from like that really come to the forefront the past year or two.
Okay,
because if you look through history, there's been a ton of these, but I want to look through the ones the past year or two. Anthony Weiner,
yeah,
sexting a teenager across state lines. Jail.
Yeah.
Pariah. No Democrat stuck up for him. Nobody stuck up for him.
What was there to defend?
No, I don't think there's anything to defend.
Nothing.
There's nothing to defend.
Yeah.
Nobody stuck up for Anthony Weiner. Everybody's happy he's gone. Although before we knew about this, I liked him as a politician.
Yeah, until I knew.
Right. And that changed everything. Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Caught on video discussing sexual assault. Many sexual assault allegations. Ex-wife accused him of rape. 20 women had gone on record to describe Trump's sexual misconduct. 12 of them recounted being physically violated, corroborating Trump's own description of his behavior. Bragged about walking in on women changing during beauty pageants, including Miss Teen USA.
Mm-hmm.
There is a single ongoing piece of litigation against the president, the civil defamation suit lodged by Summer Zervos, the former Apprentice contestant, who alleges that Trump aggressively kissed her, groped her, and thrust his genitals at her. I don't even know how you do that. You just thrust your genitals at her.
Well,
I guess. But
go,
I guess, I guess. He got elected president. He enjoys strong support amongst Republicans. He and his supporters have dismissed these women's allegations as nothing more than politics. Roy Moore. Accused of sexually assaulting a 14 and now a 16-year-old girl. That's mm-hmm. the latest one as mm-hmm. of this airing. Sexual relations with 16, 17, and 18-year-old girls, which is legal in the state of Alabama.
Right.
Corroborated by
called old maids.
Really?
Jesus, Your Honor. Corroborated by 30 people, including coworkers who said it was known he dated high school girls as a man in his 30s. Well, we know somebody else like that, too. It is creepy. Banned from a guarded mall, a Gadsden mall, for being creepy towards teen girls. Moore has denied all of his allegations. He's threatened to sue the Washington Post. Senator John McCain was the first to call for him to drop out of the senatorial race. McConnell says he believes the women now. First he said, well, if it's true, he should drop out. Now McConnell's going on record and says, no, I believe the women. Republican Senator Cory Gardner says if he wins the election, he should be expelled by the Senate. Many GOP have said if it is true, we won't be having a trial. So there's no way to really know if it's true. Although if he sues the Washington Post, then we're going to know. I don't think he's going to do it.
No,
because that would really open up a can of worms.
Yeah.
You're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, mm-hmm. because the statute of limitations has run out on these things. But if he sues the Washington Post for libel.
Now you've opened
and
that
loses.
Door.
Like, oh, I guess you did it, you creep.
Yeah.
Which is so I don't know if he's really going to do it. I mean, it's a good threat. So he still enjoys wide support in Alabama. Some have said it's okay if he did it. Others, and this is the Republicans in Alabama. This is the Republican machinery in Alabama and voters. Others have gone biblical and used the example of Mary and Joseph, which is stupid on many levels, including the whole point is Mary and Joseph did not have sex. That's why we have immaculate conception. That's why God's his dad, not Joseph, stupid.
That's actually not true.
What do you mean?
Well, they had other children.
Yeah, but not then.
How jealous would you be the middle child? It's bad enough being a middle child and your brother's Jesus.
Being held up to that standard.
Nobody thinks of me all the time. Plus, I can't raise the dead.
Why don't you be like your brother and go play with some lepers? Get out of here, Scram. President George Herbert Walker Bush has been accused of groping women, including a 16-year-old. Admits it, apologized, no discernible negative fallout yet. I think it's probably because he's, like, old and...
Yeah.
It
doesn't make it okay, Joe. Don't be enthusiastic.
You want to know something? He was a war hero. He got shot down by the Japanese. He was rescued. He was the head of the CIA. He was vice president and president. Take one for the team.
A 16-year-old?
No,
Joe. No.
No, you don't get to grope people just because you were a war
I
hero.
I love him for all those things, not for the sexual assault and the groping.
I mean, I could understand because he is elderly at this point. If he's starting to lose... his grip on what's appropriate.
Well, I think the 16-year-old was like in 2002, 2003. Oh, so, and the other ones have been more recent. So you could go, well, he's old, but
Oh, but that was, I didn't realize that was that long ago. Yeah.
It was a while ago.
No.
Louis C.K., rumors for years about him masturbating in front of female comedians. Story comes out, he apologizes, loses management, entertainment deals, and is now a pariah. Mm-hmm. Bill Cosby, been rumors of him being a rapist for years. He has settled his lawsuits. Latest case was a mistrial as the jury could not come to a unanimous decision. He has denied allegations all along. He has pretty much lost all work and is a pariah. A few years ago, he was touring and the numbers were down and people were protesting outside. Harvey Weinstein, among women who have accused him of sexual assault are Angelina Jolie, Ashley Judd, Gwyneth Paltrow, and many, many more, has been accused of rape and sexual assault, said he's going to get treatment, fired from his own company, pariah.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey, more than a dozen men and teenage boys have accused him of rape and sexual misconduct. He came out as gay, like that makes it okay.
Right.
His show on Netflix was canceled. He was replaced by Chris Plummer in a movie scheduled to come out soon. Pariah. George Takei has been accused of assault. He denies it, although today I think he apologized. No discernible fallout yet.
Huh.
Celebrity chef John Besh, more than two dozen former and current employees accused him of sexual harassment, stepped down from his company. Mark Halperin, journalist, 12 women accused him of sexual assault, of sexual harassment, including pleasuring himself in their company, forcefully kissing them while he worked at ABC a decade ago, has admitted the nonviolent behavior but not the violent behavior. He's apologized, lost his job at NBC, Showtime, HBO, and Penguin Books have all severed ties with him. Bill O'Reilly, accused by multiple women of sexual harassment at Fox News, has denied all allegations, paid a woman $32 million to keep quiet. Wow. That you must have a really good secret. Fox signed him to a new 4-year deal, eventually had to let him go after the pressure proved too much on Fox. Fox has now very publicly been under the gun for all the sexual harassment that's going on over there.
Right.
O'Reilly now has a podcast, still denies it, and blamed God for his current situation.
He
said he's angry with God. Okay. So, is it better to admit or not admit?
Depends on what you do for a living, what your profession is. In the case of Louis C.K., Louis C.K. will probably step down for about a year, come out with a special, and start to regain what he lost. Because the simple thing is, when you're a comic, you bare your soul. He on stage, Blatton, he said he was a creep.
Mm-hmm.
He could sit and write material.
Well, he said he was jerking off on stage.
But
he all but said he was being a creep.
Yeah. So he could go back and write material about that and regain what he had. Not everything, but to start to build
I don't
back
know.
What he had.
I don't know if he can come back.
No, you can.
You know what?
I mean, he'll tour, but yeah. I don't think he's ever going to be where he was.
I don't think he'll be able to get back to where he was.
No.
He'll be able to tour and do work, though.
Because what he did, because he always asked, listen, it was wrong, it was a power play.
Yeah.
But he asked them for permission, and he didn't touch them.
Right. So. And it's also, it's a different standard of behavior for a comedian than it is for somebody who's supposed to lead people in government.
But I think we're holding our entertainers to, and journalists to a higher standard than our politicians.
Well, it seems like that's been, what,
which
been,
is crazy.
What's happening. It is.
Because the politicians are the ones that are supposed to be the examples.
But you want to know something? When the entertainers have been coming out telling us how to live our lives, who to vote for, that they're not, that our president is not their president and all that, and then when it starts to come out that they have this shady
The politicians tell us how to live. They all tell us how to live.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing about it is,
Fox News tells us how to live.
But it's when you have these, but politicians have been known for that behavior.
No, they have not.
Of course, they have. Cut it out. Where Hollywood has not. They've been
really.
The
casting couch?
Really? You've never heard of the casting couch? You never heard of all these crazy sex parties? You never heard of Hugh Hefner's bunny or Hugh Hefner's mansion? What do you think that was? The plumber?
But what I have heard is for the past 8 years telling us how, that they're so holier than now. And
Roy Moore refers to himself as the Jesus judge. He wanted the Ten Commandments in front of his courthouse, and he got thrown off the bench because of that. Don't tell me that it's just the entertainers. They're all telling you how to live. You can see, that's the problem. You're picking sides. Don't pick sides.
I'm not picking sides. Ray Moore's out of his freaking mind.
They're all out of their mind.
They're all out of their mind. Yeah, but what I'm telling you right now is that Hollywood, over the politicians, have been holding the politicians accountable. That's the thing. You talk about, well, the politicians are just as bad. Yeah, but Hollywood has been holding the politicians that they are so under
but
them.
But here's the difference.
No, it's not because they're holding it that's under
the
them.
Here's the difference. Every Hollywood person that has come out has been a pariah. Nobody in Hollywood said, well, that's okay. They are all now in the era that we are in now. They are all pariahs. You still have politicians sticking up for these other politicians. There's the difference. The entertainers are actually holding their own accountable. That's the difference. You still have the Republicans, Alabama, and I've seen the interviews go, well, even if he did it, it's okay. It's better than voting for a Democrat. Is it? Is it now pedophiles over Democrats? Is that where we are?
They're slow to catch up. Because Hollywood knew about all these things going on, and they've just only recently decided to come out en masse and say that it's not okay. So the politicians are going to catch up. They're just slow to catch up.
Here's the interesting thing. We at this point, I think we believe when somebody comes out against a celebrity that they did it,
mm-hmm.
that the celebrity behaved badly and did it.
Okay.
I think at this point where we are, you still have, like, when people come out against politicians, they still want to make every excuse for them that they didn't do it.
Oh, not me.
not us. But there's still people. Oh, well, the timing of it, or this, or the Washington Post. Like, there's always excuses.
Yeah. Well, we do see people excusing it away.
You're willing to excuse for your politician. But when you excuse, when you're saying, I want this guy to represent me, then you're saying, those values are my values.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That this is okay with me.
Yeah. If you're going to vote for Roy Moore, you're saying, I'm down with pedophilia. And if you are going to say that, then own it. Don't give me you're a Christian. Don't give me you got good morals. Because if you're down with somebody who's a pedophile, then those values are yours. It's real easy to walk away and say no.
Even if it wasn't pedophilia, the sexual assault.
Right. Absolutely. So I think if Bill Clinton, if Bill Clinton was going through what happened now, if he was doing it now,
yeah.
There's no way he gets to be president.
No.
There's no way. There's no way he gets the career that he had.
No, he wouldn't.
So, Joe, you believe all Roy Moore's accusers?
Yeah, because basically what they were saying is that before they went out with the charges, they heard that they wanted pretty much everything airtight. And that's what they're saying, is that pretty much everything is airtight. And also he also said, now I don't know enough of the Hannity interview on it, but
haven't smashed a Keurig machine over. You should wear a little pink hat while you do it. That way, you represent both sides. Childish behavior.
You have a Keurig machine?
No.
ISIS could support a Keurig machine. I wouldn't smash it. I love the thing.
Oh my god!
They also are good with the pedophilia, so you might like that.
But when they mentioned to Roy Moore, when Hannity mentioned to Roy Moore, well, did you know that these women that you were making contact with were underage? He goes, well, I really wasn't aware of it.
Not what he said.
But
he denied knowing the 14-year-old. He denied knowing the 14-year-old. And he goes, I generally don't make a practice of it, and every girl I got the permission. But he didn't say he got permission from their mother. So he didn't quite say it the way you did.
But
it wasn't the type of denial you'd like.
But right,
no,
right,
it wasn't.
Right. So basically, from him making that statement, There's a lot going on there.
So then you would have been. So you would have believed him if he said deny. If he said no, absolutely not, out of hand and didn't elaborate, you would have believed him.
I wouldn't have. No, I don't believe him.
Okay.
I don't believe
Do you
him.
Believe the women that accused Bill Clinton?
Yes.
Why do you believe them?
Because the actually came out and he admitted to some of it.
He never admitted to sexually assaulting anybody.
I don't think that he did. But
no,
the,
he's denied
but
all
they were, but they were believable.
I'm not saying. Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying whether they're believable or not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he never admitted that. The only thing he's admitted to was Monica. Eventually.
Yeah. Well,
but he never.
After he started that BS about what it depends on your definition of what is.
Yeah, exactly. I know what he did.
Ew.
I know what he did, but what I'm saying, he's never admitted that.
No.
But the women are believed. So you believe the Roy Moore women? You believe the Bill Clinton women?
Yeah.
You believe the Cosby women?
One or two. I think some of them may have been jumping on the bandwagon.
There's a lot more than one or two of them.
Yeah,
all right,
but
so
I'm saying one or two.
But you believe a lot of them.
Yeah.
Why don't you believe the Donald Trump women?
Well, first of all, it's...
In the past, you haven't. I don't know where you stand now. In the past, you have not believed it.
They might have.
Do you believe now it might have... Do you believe now he might have sexually assaulted some of these women?
No, I don't believe he might have sexually
So you don't believe
assaulted.
Them?
No.
Why?
Because there's a difference between sexually assaulting and flirting.
No, when you grab somebody, that's assault. That's what he's charged with. His ex-wife said that he raped her.
Which ex-wife?
What was it? Ivana.
Why didn't she come out with the charges? Why did
she
push it?
She took a deposition.
So let the proof of the pudding come out. Let's see what happens.
But wait a minute. But
let her go to court. Let her find out.
Listen, but these
you ask me a question.
But you're not letting me explain
because you've explained enough.
See that he's emotionally involved.
Moore's emotionally involved with you when you wouldn't admit Antifa was a terrorist group because they were hassling the Nazis. Am I more emotionally involved
Focus
than that?
Focus on one thing.
No, because I'm bringing back. You're telling me you're emotionally involved.
I'm not emotionally involved with Antifa.
No, but yes, you were. You were emotionally.
Have I ever stuck up for violence?
Yes, you did. Because
Never.
You no, because your stand on Antifa was as long as they're beating up the Nazis, you could care less.
Well, I don't care.
And
if
that's
they hit Nazis.
But that is an emotional attachment to
no,
that.
No, I just don't like Nazis.
No,
Most
but
people,
no.
I'm not emotionally involved.
No. You are emotionally involved with it if you say that I don't care about Antifa as long as they're beating up the Nazis. Antifa.
I didn't say I don't care about Antifa.
Yeah, but you said
All right,
you
focus
would not.
On this. I never said I don't care about Antifa.
But you don't tell me I'm getting emotionally involved when
Joe,
you were getting emotionally involved
Stop
in that.
Talking. I'm the host. Let me control the show. I want to go someplace with this.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Now, some of these women have never had the Roy Moore's accusers have never had their day in court. They can't. They've come out after the statute of limitations.
Right.
Yet you believe those women. Some of these, but Donald Trump's women, for the most part, have not had their day in court. Although there is litigation right now,
pending
litigation.
Have these okay? So let them have their day in court, and when the day in court comes out, you make the decision.
But no, what I'm saying is, you've decided that Roy Moore's women are believable, but Donald Trump's are not. That's what I'm saying. Why? Because neither one's we haven't had a court case about this yet. Although Trump does have pending litigation. Roy Moore does not have any pending litigation. I'm curious why you're quick to say Roy Moore's women are much more believable than Donald Trump's. And Trump's has had way more accusations going on for way longer. This has been going on for years. And Trump has admitted to grabbing women, and that is assault. That is assault. I know you and others, you know, say it's locker room talk, but that is assault.
Well,
and these women have, at least 12 of these women, have said that that's what he did to them, which is assault. That's not hijinks. So I'm just curious.
That's not flirting.
No, it's not flirting. Forcing your genitals in somebody, I don't even know how that happens. But forcing yourself to kiss somebody. Like, we condemn Halperin, as well we should, you know, for forcing kissing somebody. We condemn all these other people. I'm just curious, why wouldn't we condemn Donald Trump? If we're going to condemn everybody, and all the evidence is kind of the same, to me, they're all scumbags. Left, right, entertainer, politician, you know, they're all scumbags to me.
Was Trump a politician at the time?
He was an entertainer, but he's still a scumbag. I don't care what he is.
But still, Roy Moore is a politician.
He wasn't. He was a district attorney at the time.
Same district attorney. Okay, fine. He was more of an official.
But what's that
capacity.
Have to do with assault?
What it has to do with assault is when you're entertaining in that thing. You have these people come out. Assault is a horrible thing. Let these people come out. Let it go to court and let it find out there.
They can't go to court. The statute of limitations is up. So it's up to public opinion. So I'm asking you, why do you believe these other women are Bill Clinton's and Roy Moore's and Kevin Spacey's men and all these other. Why do you believe those people and you don't believe Donald Trump's? That's what I'm trying to
ask. Because on Donald Trump, everybody's after Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a millionaire.
This is before he was president.
And he was still a millionaire. And people are after them and still try to take
advantage. They're not after a judge. They're not after celebrities.
Because maybe they don't have the money that Donald Trump had.
Kevin Spacey's got a lot of money. Okay. This guy, what's the producer? Harvey Weinstein probably has more money than Donald Trump.
Tons of money.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has more, but he's up there.
He's got
he's got a tremendous amount of clout.
You're not being intellectually consistent. I'm trying to figure out why. I'm trying to see, is there something in Donald Trump's history that is different? Because from the way I see it, these were all scumbags. Every single one of them. Bill Clinton to Donald Trump and everyone
in
between.
Trump drops the presidency and all these guys go to jail. We're done.
No, I don't know. I don't care if he drops the presidency. I'm not saying drop the presidency. I'm not saying, because he's not going to drop the presidency for that. What I'm saying is, why now do you believe all these women that have come forward? And last year at this time, I was fighting with you about Donald Trump and you thought it was all these women making stuff up. That's what I don't understand.
Because it seems everybody's jumping on the bandwagon with this stuff. You know, the court of decision, you know, let them all decide it in court.
You can't. We have laws. The statute of limitations.
So then fire them all. Fire them all. Put them all in jail. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's two things you're going to do. It's a real life, Dad.
All right. Well,
it's a real situation.
Should Kevin Spacey lose his career? If he did it.
Assuming he did it, let him face the consequences. Let him face the consequences.
Harvey Weinstein.
Let him face the consequences.
Bill Clinton.
Let him face the consequences.
Anthony Weiner.
Let him face the consequences.
Donald Trump.
Let him face the consequences.
Okay,
if they're bringing that up, then they're bringing that up. If they, you know, you go to court, have it proved. And
I wish we could.
If you're going to go on hearsay, it's, you know.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is hearsay at this point. But these things have been corroborated by other people.
It's just the preponderance of evidence against certain people that their behavior is consistent. So there's going to be a lot of people that come out. And it's sort of.
Well, but yeah, but like in the Roy Moore case, like, and maybe with some of the, I'm sure with a lot of these, like some of the later ones where Trump did hear what the other accusations were. But before that, a lot of it was similar behavior. With Roy Moore, I don't think these women had spoken to each other.
No, they hadn't.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the fifth accuser had no idea there were others.
With Bill Cosby, a lot of these women had not spoken to each other. With Louis C.K., these people, with Harvey Weinstein. So there is, I know, there's a consistency there.
Right.
There's a consistency of behavior, which makes me think all of these guys. Oh, guilty of something. Are they guilty of everyone that they were accused by? Probably not.
Yeah.
There, you know, as Joe said, there might be some bandwagon jumpers.
Yeah,
but I think if
shame
you look,
on them.
Yeah, but I think if you look at all these people that we're talking about now, I bet you every single one of them has sexually assaulted a man or a woman. I bet dollars to donuts on it.
Absolutely. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a whole field of people. It only takes one. Just takes one.
But I'll close on this. I do find it interesting when I bring up the Trump thing. People go to me, yeah, but Bill Clinton, you've never heard me defend Bill Clinton's behavior. I'm not going to go, no, he's a good guy. No, you got the wrong guy.
Yeah, he can grab some pee. Like him.
No, if he did these things that he's accusing, I think some of them were proven to be liars. I think a few of them were proven to be liars. Other ones, we don't know. There's some pretty heinous accusations against Bill Clinton.
Absolutely.
And I will never defend him for those accusations. And I expect the wives to defend. I expect Melania to defend Donald. I expected Hillary to defend Bill. Because when you're in the middle of it, what do you do? What do you do? Your world is turned
up. That's what people end up doing.
Exactly. So I don't condemn Melania for sticking up for Donald. I didn't condemn Hillary for sticking up for Bill. Because it takes a very brave person to walk away from their life and go, wow, this person is horrible. I had no idea. I need to leave my life.
Like Anthony Weiner's wife. She's like, done.
Well, she tried to work it out a couple times, too. It's very
hard. You think
hard.
She did that for her career?
No.
Really?
No, I
think that she tried to work out her relationship, and then
I think she loved
she
him.
Said,
they had a child. She loved him.
And she said, you did it again, and next to our sleeping son? Yeah. Out of here.
Yeah, no.
Out.
No, I don't think of people like that. In that case.
There's loyalty, there's denial, there's a whole stew going on.
I know you would like to say, well, Hillary did it for
man.
Her career, and then I could say, well, Melania did it for her career. I don't know. I'm not in their skin. I'm just saying I get it. I get why you would stay with them
yeah.
for a while. All right, we'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
are back. Let's lighten it up and do some Nazi news. Because the Nazis are always making news, as Nazis are wont to do. There we go.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
Jason Kessler, the organizer of the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, received a verified status by Twitter. According to Twitter, verification means the blue verification checkmark is used to detail that an account is of public interest and is authentic. A verified badge does not imply endorsement, says Twitter. Verified accounts on Twitter usually appear higher in searches and reach more people than others, allowing their messages to spread faster across the platform. As you would imagine, Twitter immediately got some backlash.
You don't say.
I do. Michael Ian Black wrote, "Hey, at Jack," that's the owner of Twitter, "very active user, 2.1 million followers here. This is disgusting. Verifying white supremacists reinforces the increasing belief that your site is a platform for hate speech. I don't want to give up on Twitter, but I may have to. Who do you value more, users like him or me?" And, of course, Kessler has tweeted that the woman that was killed in the march in the car was a fat, disgusting communist, and that her death was payback time. That's what that guy tweeted.
What a lovely man. Let's have him over for dinner.
Yeah. A few days later, Twitter suspended the verification program, saying they had to work on it for a while.
They need to tweak.
But Kessler is still verified. I checked. Kessler's still verified.
Oh, my God.
So because you know what? I always say, if you're fighting hate speech, verify somebody so that their message passes quicker. That's what I always – it's mind-blowing.
Drive that message to the top of the pile. Great.
I don't think they should verify avowed racist.
Either
you can't say you're against hate speech and make sure their message gets seen by more people.
Right.
Pick a side.
Really? Besides white supremacists and neo-Nazis, is there anybody that argues this fact?
Boggles my mind why they kept that up there and kept it still verified.
I know.
Because they're working on it, Joe.
It's
hard to take away a
check. What do you have to work on?
Yeah, what part of that don't you get?
What are you?
Yeah, I know.
No, we're just waiting for him to say one more thing about the Jews. I mean, what are you doing?
Then nobody'd be on Twitter if we use that as a
You know, he says that horrible thing about that poor young lady that got killed. That should be enough right there.
Yeah, right there.
Let's give him a little bit more rope.
You know? And you can't even make the argument, well, we really need to define hate speech. I think we did.
This.
I think we did. Yeah. So, you know, but they're working on it.
I know. Like, how long do you have to work on this particular one?
Unverified. I think there's prestige of being verified. I've never tried to get verified. I probably could.
There's prestige. There is prestige of being verified, but not for this.
Julian Assange is not verified. This guy is.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that it's driving more traffic to their feed. Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks.
So Papa John's CEO John Shatner blamed the NFL for declining pizza revenues. Had nothing to do with the quality of the pizza, I guess. So he's a known right-wing supporter, and he was upset over the NFL players' protest. The Daily Stormer liked what they heard and said Papa John's was the official pizza of the alt-right. They even showed a pizza with a swastika made of pepperoni.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. They're so sick and desperate.
Peter Collins, the senior director of public relations at Papa John's, said in a statement, "We condemn racists in all forms and any and all hate groups that support it. We do not want these individuals or groups to buy our pizza.
And we won't throw any more cheese on there, any either."
No more free sticks for you.
I don't want to start a fight, but I was struck by how quickly and clearly Papa John spoke versus our president taking several days to dance around. I mean, I don't want to start a fight, but they were like, "Dude, no, we don't want you. We don't buy our product." The pizza place.
The pizza place.
The right wing pizza place. Yeah. Not the alt right pizza place. But I'm saying the right wing pizza place. Like, right. No, slow your roll. Yeah. We don't like the kneeling, but we don't like you. We don't like you either.
Yeah, it's like we don't want to give you health insurance, employees, but we won't have any of those Nazi pizzas going out the door either. Come on.
I feel like the neo-Nazis fail to realize that when they endorse something, it actually hurts what they're endorsing. Like, I don't think they get that concept.
Maybe it's like a real deep psych. They hate his pizza, and they decided to ruin him.
Maybe they felt like they can get it. If they endorsed them, they get free pizza after a rally.
That's nice. Well, we are industrious here at Davin's Den, and we have found a niche.
Yeah.
Since Papa John's will not be the official pizza of the alt-rights, we feel there is a market for that. So we've brainstormed a couple chains, some maybe slogans.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll spit them out there for the audience, and you let us know what you feel is the best Nazi chain.
Yeah.
Pip, go first.
Well, I think that the name of a Nazi chain should be Aryan Pies.
Aryan Pies?
We're not going to have pizza because that's one of those Italian things. These are pies. But
defeats the purpose of pizza, but okay.
But our the name of pizza is pie. The word pizza means pie. It does. But that's not Italian. We're not going to call them that. They're pies. They're Aryan pies.
Okay.
Our slogan, white pizza is the right pizza. Order a white pizza supreme with no toppings because, of course, nothing is above white pizza.
Huh. That should get people going. What do you got, Joe?
Adolf's Pizza, home of the garlic Nazi. Never forget. Adolf's Pizza, you'll Reich the taste.
Oh,
home of the garlic Nazi. Nobody likes a garlic Nazi.
Can I tell you my second slogan?
Well, I said I was going to have you do everything, so I thought you were done.
Oh, I wasn't.
Well, finish, woman.
Second slogan, our ovens are ready for you.
That's not inviting.
Maybe we'll go to Pizza Hut tonight.
Joe, do you have any more? Or?
No, that's it.
Now I want
Joe
pizza.
Joe understands how this works.
No, Joe read it three times.
All right. Saucy Supremacist Pizza, or SS Pizza for short.
Saucy Supremacist.
Oh, I got a couple slogans because I want them to succeed. This one's akin to Pips. At SS Pizza, you can be sure every slice is a white slice.
Nice.
SS Pizza features the hottest ovens in the motherland. And remember, every time you order two slices, the Third Reich, or slice, is on us.
Wait, it's the fatherland.
It is.
No, it's the...
Oh, yeah, whatever. You're right. That's true. Let SS Pizza cater your nationalistic parties, rallies, marches, and purity tests.
And pure... Oh! Oh! Wow.
And the final one. SS Pizza guarantees delivery in 30 minutes or will invade Poland. That's a promise you can take to the camp.
Oh. Marching through Europe right to your door.
All right.
Yesterday in the news, the Luftwaffe will be dropping pizzas from the sky.
There'll be no French bread because we just roll right over France.
How many minutes will it take to make our pie? 9!
No!
We got that out of our system?
Almost. This is what we can think of on the spot.
All right. We'll be back.
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
So I was thinking about statues the other day unintentionally. I need to think of
dabbling and like this statue with a guy and a horse is letting the thought bubble. Just there
exactly.
Hassling him.
I didn't set out, just
doing nothing, just sitting there. He's all upset.
I didn't alone.
But I didn't set out. I was kind of done with the statue thing.
Right.
I didn't set out to think about our statue issue.
Okay, it just popped in your head in a thought bubble and you couldn't stop
no,
it.
No, I was watching ESPN. They were doing a documentary on George Steinbrenner.
Okay.
Former Yankees owner.
Mm-hmm.
And the new stadium that he built. And they're showing people walking in Monument Park, which is what the Yankees have to celebrate all their great players.
Their past achievements.
Right. And I see everybody's like all happy.
Yeah.
And they're smiling.
Yes.
And they're having a good time. And I thought, you know, when I go to other ballparks, even though I don't take the pride that I do in the Yankees, you know, if I see a statue of a great ball player, I might respect it or I might be indifferent. But it doesn't make me angry.
Right.
I never see like a statue of like Al Kaline in Detroit or something and get angry about it. You know, and I was thinking, well, why do we have to have statues that make people angry and create sorrow? So I was trying to work through. So that's where I started it from.
Okay.
Because it just seems like a silly thing to have.
Yeah.
So this is what I work on. Because statues are used to commemorate great things or people. That's why we have statues.
Or monuments, like sad things.
Well, that's usually where history happened. But they're not statues. Monuments are different than statues.
Okay, true.
Yeah. You know,
mostly.
Yeah, you know, George Washington Monument, very large. Lincoln Memorial, very large monument.
Yeah, and well, and I was thinking of, you know, like the Vietnam veterans.
I'll get there. Yeah, yeah. Memorial. So they're built to by men to honor other men.
Yeah.
That's why statues are built. I think it's different than a landmark, which is often a place where something historical happened. The battlefields of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Those are historical landmarks.
Right.
Plantations. Historical landmarks. Pearl Harbor. Historical landmark.
Right.
A launch pad at NASA. Mm-hmm. A historical landmark. So it doesn't necessarily make you happy. It can make you sad. But this is actually where history happens.
Right.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So these Civil War statues are not universally respected. In fact, to many people, they bring great pain. They're not landmarks, as the statues themselves were not part of history. Many of them were built in the early 20th century during Jim Crow to remind black people who was still in charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the actual history behind of these statues. And now tributes are usually to people that were great. Now, some of the people that we have tributes to have like dark past, like, you know, Thomas Jefferson. He was a great man, but he was a slave owner. But we build like statues to those people because we're celebrating their greatness despite their flaws. Because they achieved a greater good for the people despite some of the things. They've achieved enough good in their life.
And despite some of the things that they did do that
right.
were not good.
We're
right.
not
okay.
celebrating the bad in them. That we're not celebrating their bad decisions
okay.
and bad actions. We're celebrating the good things.
Okay.
That they did.
Okay, with you so far.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I was thinking about, like, just statues in general. When I was abroad, if a statue...
You were abroad?
Yeah, he used to
like,
be.
You look like Helen Heels.
Couldn't you tell?
We weren't supposed to share that. When I was in other countries, Joe.
Oh, that story.
Yes. They do have statues, of course.
Of course.
But the really historical statues, it wasn't because of who they depicted. It was by who created them. Because they were created by great artists.
Okay.
And those statues are not left outside to the elements and the birds. Those great statues of historical significance, like, you know, something like a Michelangelo or a Da Vinci, those are in museums
yeah.
to protect them because that's how important they are.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So I don't think we need to honor people that were on the wrong side of history. I think there's enough things, people that we could... build statues to that we could all be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
People like Neil Armstrong, Babe Ruth, Jonas Salk, Bob Hope, George Washington, Jim Brown, Jackie Robinson, George Washington Carver, Harriet Tubman, Audie Leon Murphy, the passengers of the United Flight 93, George Gerwin, Sojourner Truth. Like, we have all these great people
mm-hmm.
that we could be building statues to. Because when you see a statue, it's a myth. You never really learn history from a statue. You don't really.
No, you don't.
But it is a talking point.
It is. But and you could go. But then you could go to the museum or a textbook and learn. It is a talking point.
But if you have the statue there already, when you take it down, you're taking down history and you're taking away a talking point.
But it's not history.
It is history because it's marking a time and it's a conversation point. You just spent 5 minutes discussing some of the points on what a statue is. And that is a talking point. Regardless, and you can discuss it for future generations whether this was right
or
wrong.
But you actually have historical landmarks where you can have those, which would bring up those conversations.
Now we're deciding what we're going to remove and what we're not going to remove. It should
yeah,
all
but
stay.
You're not, but why should it all stay?
Because it's a point in history. And if you're taking that down, you're erasing a point in history. It's a talking point for future generations.
History we'd be removing... The historical point from those statues that were built in
Listen.
The history that we're removing from the early 20, from those statues is not Civil War history. That's not the history we're removing. Where we are removing the history of Jim Crow and how white people tried to still keep black people down. So
and
from
for
that
future
point,
generations on, you have that there to teach that.
But that's not what those people look to those statues as.
But then we look at those statues now. We look at it that way now. Because what's going to happen is, when do we decide to stop? When is it going to stop? When we're deciding what's going to stay and what's going to go.
I just told you how.
I know.
I just told you how, though.
But I'm telling you right now, it's going to go on, and people are going to start having their own ideas, what wants to stay and wants to go.
Well, that society evolves.
And a society evolves learning from the past. And those statues are there from the past as a teaching point to the future.
So what lesson from a Civil War statue, and then, well... We'll take a break. What lesson from a Civil War statue built in 1931 Are you looking to teach? Are you looking to teach lessons from the Civil War, or are you looking to teach lessons from Jim Crow?
Both. Both.
Well, I think you can only have one.
No, you can't. You can have both.
No, what do you,
you
think?
You can have both.
Well, I wanted to say, how do you feel about keeping a statue of Mussolini?
Because he was a dictator, he was a horrible person, and this is a statue that says nobody like this should be entitled to run a country like this again.
But that's not what those statues, that's not what these people have
the
statues for.
But then you
for.
Turn the talking point on it.
So you want to see a talking point. So if we took those statues in the South and go, listen, this is what this guy stood for, it was really horrible. Mm-hmm. So if we put on plaques that did that. Because right now we don't have that. Right now we just have the statues and we just have squares.
It's just the guy standing there.
Right. So
nothing teaches.
So you don't want to leave the statue, but if we have a plaque addressing what this person.
Or a talking point. It's a talking point for
history.
But
you can't expect people to talk unless you guide them in conversation.
But you have but if you see who's that? A little girl in a fog. Who is that? This is so and so. This is that, and this is what it was all about. And it's a teaching.
But a lot
point.
Of those people look at those statues.
But you're erasing history. You're erasing history.
I just told you it's not history, though.
But it is history. It's a reference back at a certain point in time.
If I build a statue to General E. Lee in 50 years from now, is that history?
It is, because you're modeling a figure that was in history. And there is a talking point. General Lee, you're talking about General Lee was the general of the Confederate Army who was defeated. They were defeated by blah, 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 blah. Well, why? What was the Confederacy all about? Well, the Confederacy was all about, you know, and then you go into the history of that.
Yeah, you're giving people too much credit for those type of conversations.
But you're not, you know, but you should. And you should.
I know
have
people. I've seen what's going on in Alabama. Elect a pedophile. No. I think I got people right where they are.
No. But that's your opinion. All right?
They said elect a pedophile. That's not my opinion.
I'm building a statue of him, stupid.
But whatever. But if he's a senator, Joe, at some point they might build a statue to him. It's very conceivable.
I don't think they're going to build a statue of him.
Oh, if he accomplishes legislation that they like, I could totally see them building a statue. And by your argument, you go, well, it's history. I'm saying this guy should never get a statue.
And, well, I think that the statues of people that are on the wrong side of history and have been turned out to be the bad guys, if you want to put it that simply, it should be in a museum.
Yeah,
not,
that's what I said.
Not standing over people saying,
absolutely.
Look at me,
but
I'm so great.
Is, the thing is, they're not worthy of a museum because in themselves, they're not historical. That's the problem. They're not historical. They don't have historical significance. That's why they're not museums. That was my point when I traveled abroad. It made me realize the historical stuff is protected. If I build a statue, it's worth nothing because I'm nobody.
Right, but I don't know that they're necessarily not. I mean, they do teach the evils of it, but when you put them out in and like name a park for them, name streets after them, you usually do that for the people that are supposed to be looked up to.
You build scenes in museums, and yes, you build museums. I mean, statues for museums.
Yeah,
and with context, the context that Joe's talking about. But again, that's different than in the park. Because in the museum, there's context to it all. You'll hear the good, the bad, and the right.
But the whole thing about it is you take statues down. It's like, let's just get rid of history instead of teaching about it.
Well, I think we disagree on what history is and what people really learn.
I mean,
they're
not burning the books with the stories in them about
the Civil War. We all learned about it. I learned about the Civil War from my textbook. I didn't learn about it from going to the park.
Okay, but still.
Or watching the Dukes of Hazzard.
But still, it is a talking point. And if you learn it from a textbook and you do see the statue, you will understand it, you will know about it, and you will see this marker of history depending on the statue.
Yeah, but schools take you to museums. They don't take you to the park.
But still, it's there. And you still see the rights of the country and the wrongs of the country.
What you say would make sense if they made a more outdoor-like museums.
Look, but we're talking about what's here.
You could do more.
But you want to know something? You can't just start taking things down because this bronze object made of bronze and marble is hurting your feelings. It's ridiculous. Where are we going as a country? Things are starting to get very out of hand in this country. It's really everybody looks at everything and gets offended. It's a talking point. It's a teaching point. Leave the thing there.
I don't know. I'd kind of get offended if somebody erected a Hitler statue in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's history.
Well, they haven't, okay? So learn from what we have and then move on and make a decision.
But they still have plans to build more of these statues.
See, Hitler is such a lightning rod of a personality. Everybody can agree that he did the wrong thing.
Well, not
He's
everybody.
A
There's a guy on Twitter that's verified that things otherwise.
True. But, I mean, 99% of the people could say the Hitler is a lightning rod person. Obviously, he did wrong. Now, people evolve. People's ideas evolve. The idea of the Civil War and slavery, obviously, at the time, not everybody thought it was a bad thing. Now, people should all think it's a bad thing.
But they don't. They don't. We know they don't.
And we know that they don't. All That's right. why we're having the argument. All Still.
Right. Take a break. We'll do some racism in the national anthem. Lighten it up.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
Okie dokie. So the California NAACP has proposed replacing the Star Spangled Banner as the national anthem due to its possibly racist third stanza. Here's the third stanza. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore, ooh, naughty language, that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more. Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps pollution. Now here are the two lines that are causing the controversy. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Not exactly girls, 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 is it?
I don't think Francis Scott Key got the type of tail that Nikki did.
See him on a Harley head and the tattletales, you know? Come on, Frank, let's go!
In triumph doth wave. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Girls, girls, girls at Fort McHenry during the battle.
Why are we fighting? There's enough girls for everyone.
Yeah, but you said, holy cow, chicks! Truce.
Truce.
Some historians view the stanza as glorifying the death of runaway American slaves fighting on the side of the British during the War of 1812. Francis Scott Key opposed the idea of the Colonial Marines. The Marines were a battalion of runaway slaves who joined with the British Royal Army in exchange for their freedom. Can't blame them. The Marines were not only a terrifying example of what slaves would do if given the chance, but also a repudiation of the white superiority that men like Key were so invested in. While many agree with this interpretation, others argue Key never said what he meant, and hireling and slave was in reference to all the British forces. So the Star-Spangled Banner has been our national anthem since 1931. Not that long, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, this legislation has no sponsor. I didn't even know there was a third stanza.
No. Yeah.
And do you know what the song was before the Star-Spangled Banner?
What was it?
Girls, girls, girls.
I know Vince is looking old.
Stars and stripes. Dun, 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 dun. Stars and stripes.
Come on, Vince.
They didn't even have spandex back then.
That's right. Well,
I really don't think we should have a national anthem that some of our citizens find objectionable. I don't. I mean, I've never heard of that with any other national anthem.
Well, you know what? It's getting to the point where everybody's finding everything objectionable. Okay, and when
this is glorifying slaves, it's kind of objectionable.
No, what it was is glorifying. Basically, they were the opposite side. They went to the opposite side, regardless. I mean, for the right reasons, but they were the opposite side.
But the Civil War was the opposite side, and you like them statues.
But we're talking in the context of the song now.
It's the same period.
But when he wrote the song, he went to the other side, and Key said he was the British. It was the opposition.
No, he never said. He never said what it was. We don't know.
People are interpreting
People
it this
interpreting.
Way.
People are interpreting.
You know, it's a miserable song to start with.
It's not a great song.
No, it's not a great song. The one battle is supposed to be the one battle that most people don't even really know about is supposed to be the marker of the whole sum total of the country. It's really difficult to sing. And
unless you're Whitney Houston.
Right. And nobody even knew that there was this third stanza.
I think you could do a couple different things. I would just get rid of the third stanza. Nobody knows about it.
Nobody knows about it.
Just say, hey, that's not part of the national anthem. Leave the other stuff.
Yeah.
If you will. Nobody knows about it, but I agree with you. It's not a great song. America the Beautiful is a much better song.
Yeah.
Easier to sing. Really celebrates the beauty of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have God in it, so you should have the
if
right.
If you have to.
Well, I don't make the rules. So that should make the right happy.
The thing, and it does sing about our great country. This thing about, you know, do we still have the flag over this, you know, fort that there's battle being, and people are bleeding? Really? This is our song?
I just think we could do better.
Yeah, we could do
even
better.
Even that Lee Greenwood song from a couple years.
No, no, please. No.
I'm not.
That's
saying
it's a good song.
No, please, no.
But I'm saying it's more pro. It's like more pro everything America than the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, God bless the USA. No,
born in the USA.
No,
I don't think you know. You got the Yellow Man in there. You can't have that.
Well, no, well, born in the USA is not really spectacularly thrilled with being born in the USA.
Well, there's that.
Yeah,
but it's part of history.
No.
Great period of rock history.
It's not meaning.
Great album.
Boy, isn't it great?
Bruce had a great little tush on that. It was good.
Well, there's that.
But I think you know, it just made America the Beautiful. It's such a better song.
Yeah. I never really understood why this was our national anthem.
Because it's nice and short.
No, America the Beautiful is much shorter.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's the shortest song.
Yeah.
And it's easy to sing, too.
Yeah, most people. And despite that, either way, if we're not going to like take away the national anthem, because people will have it.
Have you ever heard Ray
that.
Charles, like, America the Beautiful?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good.
Oh,
it's
God,
good.
He done shared his grace on thee.
Yes.
We'll be back.
Oh, boy.
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
All right. Facebook wants to preemptively prevent revenge porn on its platform by gathering nude images and videos of its users. Ooh, go on.
Who's the genius that thought this up?
Party at Zuckerberg's house. Just rifling through pictures.
What is it? He's got the logic of a 14-year-old.
Well, there's actually more to it. There's actually more to it.
Will you look at the butt on this one? Ah!
There's more to it. We'll get through it. Okay. They're trying this in Australia where users can use Messenger to send Facebook the images. If the trial is successful, they're going to do it in America, they're going to do it in Canada, and they're going to do it in England. So around 54,000 cases of revenge porn, which is the sharing of sexually explicit images and videos without person's consent, are reported to Facebook each month. Facebook's not – will they got to reassure everybody, go, hey, we have airtight security. That's the tricky part.
Nobody has airtight security.
That's the tricky
there
part.
Nobody
go.
Really do you?
They can't even recognize Russian payments coming in. I mean, yeah, so.
Meanwhile, the guys over at Twitter, they're verifying some racist, you know.
Yeah. Facebook says it will not store the images and videos, but instead create a digital footprint known as a hash that will be used automatically to prevent the content from being shared. In Australia, Facebook's customer support team has been receiving blurred versions of the image in order to determine whether or not it's explicit. It is then hashed and deleted. The hashing technology has previously been used to prevent the spread of child porn online as well as stop violent extremist content from being shared across social media. Privacy issues arise with the initial sending and receiving of the image, which could potentially be intercepted by hackers if not done securely. So you're not going to do this at your Starbucks. You're not going to do this at your hotel. You would have to do this at home on a very secure network, because otherwise it could get intercepted.
You want to know something? At my house, it brings up several different networks of my neighbors. So, you know.
But it doesn't mean they can't get into yours. They can get into yours.
Yeah, but it's too risky.
I'll tell you what. If I'm worried that this is going to happen, like if I have like a little, like I know I got pictures of me out there, and there are some people that are not so happy with me, this might be worth it because of the hashtag, because they're not storing it, that's not in a cloud,
right?
I mean, you have to trust them that they're not doing this.
that's the whole thing. We trust a lot of people doing things. Everything's going to be confidential online.
Listen, if it's just like one or two people and you don't think there's an issue, you don't do it. But if you know you got a lot of stuff out there, or somebody who really wants to get you and they have these pictures, it's not an awful idea.
How many times do we have to hear that some employee stole out of the database all this information about people? They got their ID numbers, they got this and that and the other thing, before we're going to go and give them our naked pictures.
Well, you'd have to
disseminate.
You know, they'd have to reveal what exactly this dissemination process looks like, who's monitoring them, and be able to verify the stuff's deleted.
All right. Well, here's the two-way thing to expand on what you were saying. You got to look at what you're personalized up to. Okay, let's say that you sent an explicit picture to your girlfriend or something like that.
Right.
Everything is good. Everything is fine. Everything will always be fine.
That's what we all think. Nobody sends a penis pic and thinks, well, this is going to go wrong.
Yeah, right.
Unless you're doing it for advertising.
But if you're somebody that has been sending a lot of stuff, out,
and, you know, there's a lot of stuff you sent out, and, you know, maybe you're fighting with some girlfriends or something like that, you go to what he says and goes, you know what's the worst that can happen? I can't be any worse doing this to protect the mark on it.
It's already working with in the child porn. They say it's working. Here's the thing, though. Here's the interesting thing. I think Facebook, by claiming they have airtight security, if this works, I think they're making themselves liable.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because once that gets, it's kind of like what happened with Equifax. It was supposed to be secure,
right?
Oh, and this you're not going to like either, Joe. I didn't mean to make this political.
That's what the name should be. This show should be named.
You're not
going to
like this, Joe.
Joe, you're not going to like this. We're changing the name of the show.
No, but one
Joe, you're not going to like this.
One. That's not a terrible idea.
Let's see the show run today. Upsetting Joe today will be.
As written by Joanne. But your side did, because we were talking about how they'd be liable. This is what got me thinking about it. And Equifax, you know, people we thought could sue Equifax.
Right.
What your side did, Joe, they took away that. We can no longer sue banks.
Class action suits.
They have protected the banks.
And you know what? And that piece of legislation can never be overturned. So that was the big parting letter F and letter U to all of the citizens.
I read that. I think I actually mentioned it to you. Probably about a month or so ago. Because to get the backstory on that. Not that I'm denying it, because I know it is true. But I was wondering the reasoning behind it. Do you know the reasoning behind
they
it?
They said to make it easier, because they would do arbitration. They say these. It was basically.
It'll help the banks.
Well, no, that's not what they said. But they said it'll help the people be able to get their money quicker because these lawsuits could go on and on. But you know what? If somebody wants to enter into class action suit, they kind of know the deal.
Yeah, it takes away part of due process. It takes away your ability.
This was implemented after the banks screwed us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this was meant to protect consumers.
Right,
and
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not blaming you for that, but that's one of the things your side did, Joe, and I don't think you'd like that. Do you like that?
Did I say I liked it?
No,
I
I'm asking
not.
You.
No, I did not. I did not, and I heard, like I said, I might have discussed it with somebody. I think I discussed it with Anthony Cumia.
I can see how you get us confused.
I discussed it with him, and at the time, we both didn't know what the backstory was on it. That's the thing, is I brought it up to him because I wasn't pleased about it. And I go, do you know anything about about this or the backstory? Because I'm on the fence.
Trump had to sign off on it.
Yeah,
Trump signed it.
Yeah.
Which takes away,
did he sign it yet?
Consumer's rights.
Actually, I don't know if he signed it yet. But I don't know if he signed it, but he was for the legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's actually signed it yet. So I might be ahead of myself.
Yeah, I'm not actually.
But chances
sure
are, if he hasn't, it looks like
he's gonna.
Which really hurts his base.
It really hurts consumers. It really hurts the middle class.
Yeah.
It gives more power to the people that screw us every day.
Well, I'm glad to see that Joe doesn't like that and is not defending that. But what I'm saying is, we could theoretically, getting back to this, Facebook could be liable. So they're saying it's an airtight guarantee.
Yeah, nothing is airtight. Nothing is airtight. The Pentagon's not airtight.
Nothing is airtight.
The
DNC's not airtight.
Nothing is airtight.
Donald Jr.'s Twitter account isn't airtight.
How about we take less nudie photos of ourselves and send them to people?
Maybe you should be taking them in the first place, to tell you the truth.
And sending them through social
media.
I'm very
good with the shadowing, and, you know, I really have mastered it.
The contouring.
No, obviously that's the answer. That's always the best prevention is don't do it.
Don't do it.
But if I thought there was a real threat that this could be out there, I would do it. Okay.
Really?
Really. Okay, Joe, where are you going to be?
I am going to be nowhere.
Anything?
No, nothing. I have no life.
November 24th and November 25th, I'll be in Bristol, Pennsylvania at the Comedy Works. For tickets, call 215-741-1661. Wednesday, November 29th, Joe and I will be in Lumberton, North Carolina at Adelio's. For tickets, call 910-671-4747. And then Thursday, November 30th through Saturday, December 2nd, Joe and I will be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at the Carolina Comedy Club. For tickets, call 843-839-2565. Follow us on Twitter at Davin's Den. Like us on Facebook, Davin's Den. Got some new juicy stuff going on the website, davinsden.com. Listen to the whole show unedited, davinsden.com. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.